In this session, we will finish our studies on self-assessment by taking a look at a few things of which you should be aware. We will start by having a look at further rules regarding the payments on account. In the last session, we took a look at payments on account. Each payment on account, you will recall, being 50% of the tax due for the previous year. Not every UK taxpayer is required to make payments on account.
No payments on account are required where either the tax due for the previous year was less than £1,000 or more than 80% of the current year tax liability has been collected at source.
By collection at source, we either mean tax paid under PAYE or tax deducted at source from interest and dividend income. When taxpayers are filling in their tax calculation working guide to actually work out their tax liability for the year, there is a box on the form which asks them to compare the tax deducted at source with their total liability for the year. If the tax deducted at source is more than 80% of their total liability, no payments on account need to be made for the following tax year. This means that for most taxpayers in the UK, no payments on account will actually be required. This is because the majority of UK taxpayers are employees whose tax is deducted at source under PAYE. For taxpayers who are required to make payments on account, these taxpayers can, in certain instances, make a claim to the Inland Revenue to reduce their payments on account. We're aware that payments on account are normally 50% of the previous year's tax due. However, if the taxpayer anticipates that his current year tax liability will be less than the tax due for the previous year, he can ask the Revenue to accept lower payments on account. When making a claim to reduce payments on account, the taxpayer must specify the amount that he or she wishes to pay. This amount could be zero if, for example, the taxpayer anticipates that his tax liability for the current year will be nil. The taxpayer must make this claim by notice in writing, giving reasons to the Inland Revenue why the payments on account should be reduced.
The claim can be made at any time up to the 31st of January after the end of the tax year concerned.
In practice, the Revenue are normally quite relaxed about accepting claims to reduce payments on account. However, they do state that if the reduction is excessive, so that the taxpayer finishes up paying far less on account than in reality he ought to, the Revenue can charge penalties. The Revenue will always charge interest on any underpaid tax in these circumstances. In practice, the Revenue will only charge penalties on excessive reductions in payments on account if this was done fraudulently or negligently by the taxpayer. So if a taxpayer deliberately makes a claim to reduce his payments on account purely for the benefit of obtaining a cash flow advantage, when, in reality, he knows that his tax liability for the year will be higher than the amount paid, then the Revenue reserves the right to charge a penalty. We saw in the previous session that if tax is paid late, the Revenue will always charge interest on the overdue tax. The same principle will apply here, where a taxpayer excessively reduces the payments on account that he should be making. We will show you how this works by running through an example.
Amanda had tax due for 2009-10 of £16,000. This means that Amanda's payments on account for 2010-11 should be £8,000 each, due on the 31st of January 2011 and the 31st of July 2011. Amanda does some calculations and anticipates that her 2010-11 tax due will be lower than in the previous year and will be £11,000. She therefore makes a claim to reduce her payments on account to £5,500 each. Amanda subsequently makes these payments on the 31st of January 2011 and the 31st of July 2011 respectively. Amanda finally gets around to preparing her 2010-11 tax return, which she submits electronically on the 19th of February 2012.
The return shows tax due for the tax year of £13,000. The first thing to note here is that Amanda will be required to make a balancing payment of £2,000. Her tax liability is £13,000. £11,000 has been paid on account. This means that the balancing payment will be £2,000.
Amanda makes this balancing payment at the same time as she submits her tax return, i.e. on the 19th of February 2012. You will therefore see that Amanda's tax return is late. It should have been submitted on the 31st of January 2012. It was submitted on the 19th of February 2012. Therefore, the return is 19 days late. So, as well as having interest and potential penalties, Amanda will also be liable to the £100 fine for sending in a late return. Our requirement here is to calculate any interest on overdue tax and any penalties due in this situation. Let us plot the payments Amanda has actually made. She made a payment on account of £5,500 on each of the 31st of January 2011 and the 31st of July 2011. She made the final balancing payment of £2,000 on the 19th of February 2012. Remember that originally Amanda had made a claim to reduce her payments on account from £8,000 each to £5,500 each. Amanda's tax due for 2010-11 has turned out to be £13,000.
What the revenue will argue is that if Amanda's calculations had been correct in the first place, she should actually have made payments on account of not £5,500 each, but of £6,500 each. If she had done this, she would not have been required to make a balancing payment when she submitted her tax return. The revenue will argue that each of the two payments on account were actually £1,000 less than they should have been. The revenue will therefore charge interest on this late paid tax.
Interest will be charged on the unpaid £1,000 from the 31st of January 2011 to the 18th of February 2012, i.e. to the day before the tax was actually paid. The number of days in this period comes out to be 384. They will also charge interest on the £1,000 from the 31st of July 2011, again through to the 18th of February 2012. So, interest will be charged on £1,000 for a period of 203 days. If we assume an official interest rate of 3%, £1,000 outstanding for 384 days gives us an interest charge of £32. £1,000 outstanding for 203 days at the same rate of interest gives us an interest charge of £17. Let's not forget any penalties. A penalty is only due if the balancing payment is more than 30 days late. Here, the balancing payment is only 19 days late, so no penalty will be due. Finally, there will be a fixed penalty of £100 for Amanda submitting her tax return late. So if we add together all interest and penalties, the total amount levied on Amanda comes out to be £149.
We know that if a taxpayer pays his tax late, the revenue will charge him interest on the tax underpaid. It therefore stands to reason that if a taxpayer pays too much tax and the revenue owe him a tax repayment, it is only fair that they should credit him with some interest.
FA 2009 introduced a new regime in respect of repayment interest. The repayment interest is paid by HMRC to the taxpayer on tax which has been overpaid. Repayment interest will be added to repayments where payments on account have proved to be excessive, or when a return is amended such that the tax liability decreases, or where tax reliefs become available after the tax return has been filed. In each of these instances, HMRC will add repayment interest to the tax repayment due. The interest rate used by the revenue to calculate repayment interest on tax repayments is lower than the rate of interest that we use to calculate interest on tax paid late. This might seem a little unfair, but HMRC will simply argue that if a taxpayer is borrowing money from a bank, the interest paid on borrowings is usually substantially higher than any interest earned on savings. The rate of repayment interest is calculated as the Bank of England base rate minus 1, but a minimum rate of 0.5% applies. Repayment interest is tax-free. This interest does not, therefore, need to be brought into our income tax computation. Interest on overpaid tax runs from the date on which the tax is paid, or the normal due date if this is later, to the day before the repayment is made.
If the tax that is being repaid to our client is tax that has been deducted at source, for instance, tax deducted under pay-as-you-earn or tax withheld from bank interest, such tax deducted at source is all deemed to have been paid on the 31st of January following the end of the tax year.
So, for example, if an employee is reclaiming some tax which has been withheld from his salary under PAYE for the tax year 2010-11, we pretend that all of this tax was actually paid on the 31st of January 2012. This is quite a harsh rule for a couple of reasons. First, in reality, the tax is actually paid to HMRC earlier than the 31st of January 2012. PAYE is paid on a monthly basis throughout the year. What this also means is that if PAYE tax is being repaid, if HMRC issues the repayment before the 31st of January 2012, there is no repayment interest.
When a taxpayer receives a repayment, it is therefore important that we identify exactly what sort of tax is being repaid. As such, tax repayments are identified with tax payments in the following order. The first lot of tax to be repaid is deemed to be the balancing payment. The second lot of tax to be repaid is deemed to be the payments on account, and here we allocate these equally between the two payments. The last lot of tax to be repaid is deemed to be the tax deducted at source, either under PAYE or from bank interest.
We need to go through this process in order to determine the amount of repayment interest due to our client.
The whole thing looks rather convoluted, so let us see if we can simplify it by running through an example.